It's the 3rd of September 2018, and this is John Thayers of Gloucester Rugby Heritage, and I have with me Clive Major from the project. And today we're at Kingsholm to talk to Nick Marmont, Gloucester fullback and wing from 1986 until 1992. Hello, Nick.
Good afternoon.
You're a Bristol lad.
Yeah, I was born less than a mile from the Memorial Ground. Which now sadly obviously is a football ground rather than a rugby ground, but yes.
Very sad.
Yes, absolutely.
I've always thought of Bristol as a Gloucestershire club, but there we are.
Yes.
Yeah. And you went to school at?
I went to school at Lockleys Comprehensive School, which is now closed, which backs directly onto Dings Crusaders previous ground, which is where I kind of cut my teeth as a rugby player up until the age of 16. I was pretty much a footballer, as I think most people are, and then joined the Dings, played a few games in the Colts, and then actually within quite a short time ended up playing in the first team, which obviously is it would be unusual now at 16 to play in a first team, but clearly times have changed slightly.
And after school?
After school, so when I finished at school, I got a place at Exeter University. It was the first year that St Luke's College had moved to the university, so obviously there was a very, very strong rugby tradition. I went to Exeter, didn't play in the first team in the first year, second year, and really it was only when I kind of made the move from centre to fullback that I started to figure in the first team. Played in the university's athletic union final at Twickenham, which we lost 7-6 to Durham, very much against the run of play. But that was obviously a superb experience to play at Twickenham. Obviously, there weren't that many people there, but one portion of the stand was full of Durham University and Exeter University fans, and it sounded pretty good to us.
And the semi-final, where Exeter beat Lancaster 21-4, there was an incident reported in the Times.
There was, yes. It basically, I think the incident you're referring to was that I caught a mark lying on my back.
Yeah.
But the referee, I think it was a Mr. Parker, deemed it to be a mark because my feet were still on the ground.
Yeah. It says a new experience even for the referee, Mr. Parker. Yeah. But it seems that provided the feet are still and catch clean, a free kick will be awarded. And he did.
Yes, he did. Yes, I do remember that.
That's a bit of a question of sport moment.
It could
itself,
be. Could well
it?
Be. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrific. And then you stayed. You went to London. Mm-hmm. You stayed in London. Effectively. Yeah. Yeah. And you played for Saracens.
Yeah. I left. I left the university.
What took you to London?
It was an interesting job as a new PE teacher, a very good school, Queen Elizabeth School in Barnet, which had a big rugby tradition, and I went there, and I joined the school as one of three NQTs that year. One of the other guys, a chap called Andy Phillips, played for Saracens, a big powerful wing with probably the best handoff I've ever seen. And John Olver, who went on to play for England, played for Harlequins at Hooker. We all started at the school at the same time. It was a great education, both in terms of teaching and in terms of rugby. The head of PE, Master and Child Rugby there, was a chap called David Morn, who basically drove us into the ground. I remember at the end of my first year, never wanting to see a rugby ball again, as we played rugby for two terms, including almost every Sunday, going to a sevens tournament in some part of the country with students. Again, great experience, but it did suggest to me that actually it was better to have two sports, so rugby and hockey when I went to Kings, or rugby and football as we now do it both, and was better than two terms of rugby. But yeah, 3 years at Saracens, both at Exeter and at Saracens, I had the privilege of coming to Kingsholm. The university still had fixtures at that time against Bristol, Bath, Roslyn Park, Llanelli, Penarth on an Eastern Tour, and Gloucester. And I can fondly remember coming up to Gloucester. Obviously, it was you know, it was our desire to throw the ball all over the place and run around and try and wear size down, which we did quite successfully against Bristol, pushing them very close 1 year, and also against Bath. But at Gloucester, it didn't work, and I think it was 80-3 in one of the games.
What was the perception of Gloucester from the outside at that stage?
It was obviously a great privilege to play, and we all came up here, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, thinking that we were actually quite good rugby players. And I can remember one incident where, because we were struggling so badly in the scrum, we decided to go to a three-man scrum, and at that time you could have three against eight. And I remember, now with great fondness, obviously, because it wasn't involving me, the three front row boys disappearing under the Gloucester pack and coming out the back, you know, as if they'd come out the back of a threshing machine. Also remember, a bit of an anecdote, there was a chap called Pete Stiff, a second row who went on to play for London Irish, who basically jumped at the first line out against Steve Boyle when he picked himself up off the floor, and Boyle said, "Don't jump on my ball again." Obviously, that kind of set the tone for the game. They were great experiences to come and play here. Also played here for Saracens, and we had a captain called Alex Key, who was a back row forward.
At that stage, of course, Saracens weren't quite the same.
No, not the same. Not the same package. We were a poorer of the London clubs, but we came down to Kingsham, and Alex was captain. And it would be fair to say, in the most possible way, he believed in his own ability. Big blonde haired back row forward, and we came to Kingsham determined to play a forward orientated game. Against a pack which was far superior, much better than ours. We had actually quite a decent set of backs at that time, but kind of got our tactics wrong, and I think 30 points or 40 points on those occasions. So yes, interesting to have been able to play both for Gloucester and against Gloucester in a number of guises.
Yeah, I still can't get over the three-man scrums.
No.
Who'd be a halfback?
Absolutely. Well, the idea was, I think they were going to win it anyway, so we'd have more defenders. But
who would have been in the Gloucester side in those days? Would you remember any names?
I'm not sure.
Steve
Boyle would have played. I would imagine Richard Mogg. Yes. I certainly played against Jim Breeze when Exeter played Stroud.
Yes.
But probably in some of the archives there are some. But it was a great experience. Yeah. As I said, we believed we were pretty good, and obviously found out that there was more to rugby than running the opposition off their feet. You actually had to get the ball to start with.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have the honours boards for the years before you came to Gloucester.
Right.
So probably pick out, or it might would be have been, able it, to pick out from...
So it would have been, I was at Exeter from 78 to 82. So, slightly before that, I'm sure that
I was
the likes of Steve Mills would have been here. John Alwyn might have been.
Yeah.
John Brain possibly. Kevin White probably. Gordon Sargent possibly. Paul Taylor, I would guess, would have been around at that time.
And certainly when you were playing for Saracens.
Oh yes, they would have. They would have been. That was 83 to 85. So yes, as I said, we came down with delusions of grandeur. I thought
talking about a series of really interesting names there of the Gloucester side.
Yeah,
stalwarts of the pack.
Absolutely, yeah, and again, that the foundation of the club has always been a very powerful forward unit, decent half backs, and a number 15 who kicked goals, which I'll perhaps delve into a bit later.
Right. Clive, would you like to
at Saracens. What brought you to Gloucester?
Basically, I'd been teaching for 3 years in London, and by that time I decided that London wasn't a great place unless you had lots of money, and that perhaps I wanted to go back to the southwest. And as I said, I'd learned a huge amount. The head of PE's job came up at the King's School in Gloucester. And I kind of decided to apply for it. I didn't actually think I would get it, having had only 3 years' experience and not having a kind of an independent school background. Came down and One of the question marks was that the then head of PE was John Simonet, who obviously played in the cup final teams, yes. And he hadn't been allowed to play rugby when he took up the post at King's. They'd insisted that he was with the first 15. So I attended the interview and possibly, slightly relaxed because I thought, well, if they won't let me play rugby, I won't come. Duly got offered the job, and the head teacher, Alan Charters, was more than happy for me to play rugby as long as we could work out how we would manage the first 15 on a Saturday afternoon.
So did John Simonet also get the... goodwill of the headmaster alongside yourself?
Unfortunately, he was there under a different head teacher who had a different idea about it. So he unfortunately had to give up playing.
Yes.
At the point that he took up the post, which obviously
by
reputation, I'm not seeing
so
him play.
So you made the breakthrough at King's.
Absolutely, yeah, and as I said, it worked very, very well. I had the games videoed when I wasn't there. Did all the coaching, obviously, and we had some very, very successful times.